As we move closer and closer to opening day, the Orioles opening day roster starting to take shape a little bit. Some things are just falling a little bit into place. And today we've got notes about those things, about starting pitching, about the bullpen, about the hitters, about everything going on in Sarasota. That's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast.
You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Monday, March 20th, 2023, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. And coming up on today's episode, we've got an Orioles news and notes pod for you. We're basically going to get to everything that we've missed over the last few days from Sarasota. We'll talk starting pitching, Kyle Gibson dominating on Sunday. When will the Orioles name him as the opening day starter? We got an update on John Means and his recovery from Tommy John surgery. We'll move to the bullpen where Mike Bauman has been a hot name making the move there. And Felix Bautista looks to be getting ready for opening day. And then we'll talk about the hitters with Anthony Santander returning to camp and Franchy Cordero just continuing to be red hot. But that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an MLB GM and managing your baseball franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimatebaseballgm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code LOCKEDON in the game. So let's jump right into it here on a Monday. We're just 10 days away. Count them, 10 days away from opening day. Orioles Red Sox, March 30th at Fenway Park. We know the Red Sox have named Corey Kluber as their opening day starter. The Orioles have not made the decision yet. Brandon Hyde has continuously been asked about it since he said early last week that after the off day the Orioles had last Wednesday, sometime after that he would name the starter. And every day he's, of course, been asked by the media, and every day he hasn't had an answer yet. But it does feel like in the next couple of days, maybe even by today, he's going to name Kyle Gibson as the opening day starter. It just feels like everything is pointing that way. The Orioles are lining up the rotation that way. Gibson is the guy who they've given the most money to of any Mike Elias free agent, signing him to a one-year, $10 million deal this offseason. Gibson is the most veteran by far of any of the starting pitchers. And he's the only guy on the staff who has previously started an opening day. He did it for the Texas Rangers back in 2021. Now, did it go well? No, it did not. He gave up 5 runs and he didn't even make it out of the first inning. But he has done it before, and you would hope he would learn from those mistakes in 2021. And the thing to add on to that is he's pitching really well in spring training. And I've talked about it. Spring training performance isn't a huge indicator and doesn't really push a lot of these roster decisions for opening day, but it can help guys here and there and hurt guys here and there. And Gibson's been really good, and he continued that on Sunday. Orioles had a split squad, played one game against the Pirates in Sarasota, other game in Tampa against the Yankees. Gibson started at home against Pittsburgh and threw 5 scoreless innings, becoming the first Oriole starter to go 5 innings so far this spring. 5 scoreless on just 3 hits, 7 strikeouts, and no walks for Kyle Gibson. And he said after the game that he actually pitched so well because he just tweaked his delivery just a little bit. He said he wanted to start with a little more athletic stance. It helped him get down the mound a little bit smoother. And he said it's the best he's felt all spring and the best he's felt in a while on the mound. Talked about how good his changeup felt. That's what he said after the game, and all positive things for Gibson. And as it's lining up, you know, he pitches on Sunday the 19th. You would think that, you know, he would get, you know, those 4 or 5 days off, and then maybe he pitches on the 24th or maybe the 25th here, one of the final spring training games, and that would line him up to be perfectly ready and on regular rest to go on March 30th. It just feels like he's going to be the guy. And you feel like the O's are going to say that at some point here early this week. Now, behind him, as we've talked about a little bit, and we chatted about it last week when I had Nathan Ruiz of the Baltimore Sun on the podcast to preview the starting rotation. Make sure to go back and check out that episode. But it seems like the rotation is lining up, and it is lining up a little bit differently than it was before. When we chatted with Nathan, we talked about how they were lining up kind of a Gibson, Kramer, Irvin, Bradish, Rodriguez. Maybe Bradish and Irvin were flipped. Well, they made a little switch with Kyle Bradish. He threw on the backfields last week. But Bradish is scheduled to start today's game in Philadelphia, which is televised by NBC Sports Philadelphia. So if you have means of watching that, you will be able to. But now it looks like the order they've got it going is Gibson, Bradish, Irvin, Kramer, Rodriguez. That seems to be the order of the starters here in spring, and that doesn't mean it's going to be the order to start the season. I mean, the last spring training game is on the 27th, so you know you do get a couple of days off before going to Boston, so you can mix things up pretty easily at that point. But that seems to be the order and makes me think that's what the rotation is going to be. And really the only question at this point becomes, is Grayson Rodriguez going to be that fifth and final guy, or would the Orioles send him to AAA to start the season, cite the fact that he's had a few struggles in spring training, cite the fact that he did miss 3 months with the back injury last year, cite the fact that he still hasn't thrown a pitch in the big leagues, and basically use those kind of BS excuses to keep him down for 6 weeks, manipulate his service time, and get an extra year of service time, and then call him up in mid-May. It's something they could do, and I don't think they're going to do it. As I said when I talked about rotation chances, power ranking the rotation chances a couple weeks ago, I gave Rodriguez a 65% chance of making the rotation. I still kind of fall in right around that number, but he has had a little bit of struggles. He did start Saturday against the Red Sox in the Orioles spring training game, and 3 2/3 innings, 5 runs, although only 2 earned on 6 hits, but he was kind of involved in one of the errors that made some of the runs unearned. He did give up a homer, struck out 3 and walked 2. You know, the stuff has looked good. And once again, you know, he kind of threw 3 strong innings and then it got away from him in the 4th. We saw him earlier this spring through 2 really strong innings, then gets away from him in the 3rd. So maybe he's not as built up as some of the more veteran guys like Gibson going 5 innings. But the stuff still looks good, and I've gotten questions about, you know, well, wouldn't it be warranted to send him to AAA because he's had a few tough starts in spring? Again, the stats for spring, they're not really going to make these decisions for Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde. It's going to be more about how the stuff looks, how they're getting built up, and those kind of things. And the Grayson Rodriguez stuff still looks good. It's a really good changeup. It's an upper 90s fastball with the breaking stuff. He's building himself up pretty well to get towards opening day. And remember, for Rodriguez, you know, he's not trying to get ready for March 30th. He's trying to get ready for, you know, the first week of April. Because if he's in the rotation, most likely he's going to be the number 5 starter and start that 5th game of the year in his home state of Texas against the Rangers. I still think he's going to be the guy, and he absolutely should be the guy to get that 5th and final spot in the rotation. He's the Orioles' best pitching prospect. He's a top 10 prospect in baseball. And I think he is the future ace of the Baltimore Orioles. But the Orioles haven't said officially, and you know, there's still 10 days till opening day, so they don't have to say this yet, but they haven't said yet that he's going to be in the rotation, and because they haven't, and they've manipulated some service time before a little bit, you can't rule it out. So that's where we're at. And if they do somehow hold Rodriguez down, I mean, it's not going to be a fun podcast for me the day after rosters come out if they send Rodriguez down to AAA. Again, I don't think they will. Think he's going to be on the roster. He should be on the roster. But if he's not, it feels like Tyler Wells is probably the guy who gets that 5th rotation spot. I mean, he's been kind of the 6th guy that's actually starting games. Now, you know, guys like Austin Voth and Spencer Watkins are certainly pitching in bulk and still being built up to be relievers, Bruce Zimmerman as well. But Wells is the only one still starting games. And he started the other half of that split squad game against the Yankees on Sunday. And for Wells, who's had kind of a tough spring training, came into that appearance with an 11.5 ERA this spring, did, credit to him, put together his best appearance of the spring so far. 3 2/3 innings. Now, he did give up 5 hits, but only 1 run, struck out 3, did not walk anyone. The fastball was 92-93, which was good to see. He mixed all 4 of his pitches with the slider, the changeup, and the curveball. He got 9 whiffs, including 4 on his slider and 3 on the changeup, which was really good to see. Despite the game not being on TV, we did have StatCast access on Sunday to see those stats. But that does seem to be the guy, and I get maybe his stats haven't been there, but it seems like the stuff is now getting there, especially after Sunday's start, and he would be the guy to replace, but I still do think it's going to be Rodriguez with Tyler Wells into the bullpen. And There is one more starting pitching note to get to, and it's not a guy who's going to be really even that close to factoring into the opening day rotation, but will factor into the Orioles rotation at some point this year, is John Means, who we got more good news on John Means as he recovers from the Tommy John surgery he had back in May. And he threw 30 pitches off a full mound this weekend. And for the first time, he threw pitches other than fastballs. He threw 10 changeups among those 30 pitches, which, as we know, is Means' number one off-speed pitch. And that's another good step in the progression back from Tommy John surgery. He said he's been throwing, you know, some sort of capacity of bullpens basically every other day for the past few weeks. He said he's thrown at least five or six now, which is really good to show that he's still throwing them and hasn't had any setbacks while he's throwing. Now, the Orioles are still targeting a date around July to get John Means back on the team. Means hasn't really said that yet. He's just kind of talking about how he's taking it day by day. The Orioles have more so indicated something like July, but that's just good news to see the Orioles getting closer and closer to having John Means back. Now, one guy I didn't mention when talking about these Orioles starting pitching options is Mike Bauman, and that is because the Orioles announced last week that they're going to be moving Bauman into more of a full-time bullpen role. So next up, we'll talk about what that means for the O's, what it means for Bauman, and if he now has a better shot of making the opening day roster. But first, this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM. I am in love with our new sponsor, our new partner of today's episode, the mobile game Ultimate Baseball GM. If you have ever wanted to be a GM, if fantasy baseball is great, but it's not quite cutting it. This is kind of why I like this app so much, because I play fantasy baseball. I love fantasy baseball, but Ultimate Baseball GM, it kind of takes it the next step. You're basically doing everything for an MLB team. You are the GM. You're hiring coaches. You're managing finances. You're scouting players. You're drafting players. You're even like managing personalities on the team. You make those decisions as well. Of course, you're going into free agency, making trades. An entire season, it is all up to you, and it's right on your phone. And this is not some super easy game. It's a challenging, realistic game world. And it's completely free, and you can play it offline, which means you can sit on your phone and play this game anywhere. I've played it a lot. And Locked On Orioles listeners, you get a 100% free boost to your franchise when using promo code LOCKEDON in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com, scan this code right here, or look it up on the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com. Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. So we're talking a little Orioles news and notes here on Monday with just 10 days left until opening day. Just talked about the starting pitching. Now we move to the bullpen. And the reason why Mike Bauman is involved now in the bullpen section is that the Orioles announced late last week that they are moving Mike Bauman into a full-time short inning reliever bullpen role. Now this is something that has bounced back and forth for Mike Bauman. You know, this goes all the way back to him being Orioles minor league pitcher of the year in 2019 and having, you know, all these expectations, then the injury, and it was weird in 2020, and it was even weird in 2021 for Bauman, but he finally comes back healthy in 2022. He gets himself back into the big leagues, but, you know, he made the opening day roster last year as a reliever, pitched a couple of times, then went down and up and down and up, and then he came up at the end of the year and actually made four starts for the Orioles to finish out the season. But when he was in relief for Baltimore last year, Bauman was pretty good. 9 appearances, 16 innings, a 3.94 ERA, 17 hits, 13 strikeouts, just 6 walks. And that stuff is going to play up for Bauman out of the bullpen. We know it's going to be mainly a fastball-slider combination. And when he is pitching in those one-inning stints, which we've seen him do before, he's up to 96-97, and that slider's up at 90-91, which can be a huge weapon for the right-hander out of the bullpen. And, you know, we'll see what sticks with the other breaking stuff and the changeup and what's going to hang around if he is now going to be full-time a reliever instead of going back and forth, which is what he did for the past couple of years with the Orioles. But this is something a lot of people have talked about, and this is something I've talked about a lot on this podcast, even going back years, just saying that I think Mike Bauman's future is as a reliever. And I didn't mean that to say that he couldn't be a good starter or that he's going to be a failed starter. I just thought the stuff was going to play better in a relief role. And so the Orioles are going to take a look at it. You know, he pitched in relief on Sunday, threw a scoreless inning, no hits, 2 strikeouts, and a walk. It was just one inning. And what it is going to do for Bauman is I think it's going to give him an even better chance to make the opening day roster. I mean, right now, as I've talked about, he is right on the roster bubble. I mean, Mike Bauman is directly on the bubble right now. It could go either way for Bauman. I think if he makes the team, he'd be the 26th guy to get on the team. Like, that's how close it is for Mike Bauman. And Dylan Tate being injured and missing all of April certainly opens up potentially a spot for Bauman to have. And, you know, he's going to be a hard-throwing right-hander going one inning. That's somewhat of a role that Dylan Tate fills. And for Bauman, he was one of the 12 starters that Elias talked about being in camp, competing for the rotation. But I think we all kind of knew he was never going to be in the rotation. I think most of us would have given him, what, the eighth, maybe ninth best chances to make the rotation, maybe a little bit higher, but just because he was pitching well early in spring. He's got a better chance as a reliever, and he's going to have to fight it out with a guy like Andrew Politi for one of those spots, or maybe overtake a Brian Baker type if he continues to struggle, or really outpitch an Austin Voth maybe. But at this point, I'd put Bauman right on that roster bubble, but I think moving into this full relief role, I think it's going to help him have a better chance. Now, he does have options to go to the minors, so he could still go to AAA, but I think this is going to help him moving forward getting on this opening day roster. Now, another guy who could be on the opening day roster and could not be and really could impact Mike Bauman a lot is Felix Bautista. Bautista, who had that knee injury and the arm fatigue at the end of last year and kind of wasn't built up when he got to spring training. So finally last week started pitching in spring training games, getting a late start. But the stuff looked like the mountain looked last year. I mean, 100 on the fastball, devastating splitter. He's thrown two dominant scoreless innings so far. The plan is for Bautista to pitch again today, Monday, and then he'll pitch in a game on Thursday as well, which would give him four appearances in the spring. Brandon Hyde said originally he would like Bautista to make 4 to 5 appearances in the spring before saying he's good to go. Well, if he gets his fourth appearance on Thursday, that's still a week before opening day. He should be plenty ready to go. However, Hyde did say on Sunday that he would like 3 or 4 more appearances from Bautista. So we know he's scheduled for 2 more, which means Felix is going to have to get in a game. Now, they're not going to pitch him back-to-back days, so either Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. As long as he gets in one of those games, which he should be fine to do, and comes out without injury and the stuff looks good, I think Bautista is going to be ready and going to be healthy and, of course, going to be on the opening day roster as the Orioles closer. Now, if he's not ready, I think that means Mike Bauman, who I just talked about, has a really good chance of getting on the roster. But if Felix is ready, that's where Bauman ends up squarely on the bubble. I think this is really good news for Felix Bautista, and I do think he's on track and is going to be ready for opening day. And then the last pitcher to talk about, speaking of being ready for opening day, is DL Hall. DL Hall has continued to throw those simulated games. The stuff has looked good. He's felt good, said he's only woken up with, you know, the regular soreness he feels after any outing, and it's not anything extra with the back injury that he was dealing with. So he is ready to go, and the plan is Hall is either going to make his spring training Grapefruit League debut this spring, either today, Monday, or tomorrow, Tuesday. So either Monday or Tuesday, DL Hall will get into a spring training game for the first time this March. And then you just go from there. We already know the Orioles have said it. He's not going to be built up to be a starter on the big league team by opening day. So the decision is either you put him in the Norfolk rotation to start the year, you build him up through the month of April, then you make a decision, or you just stick him in the Orioles bullpen to start the season because he's shown he can be a good reliever, he's got fiery stuff, and he is certainly one of the 13 best pitchers in camp right now, which means he makes the big league team better if you put him on the roster. But does that stunt his development if you think he's still a starter long term? Those are all the things the Orioles have to take into account. But I think a good first step in making that decision is getting him on the field in a spring training game, and it looks like that will happen either Monday or Tuesday. But there is a few more notes to get to having to do with some hitters. I know it's been pretty pitcher heavy here on this episode, but there is some hitter notes coming up next to finish off the pod. But first, this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, and it's super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers and threes drained. Now, for me looking at the tournament, my final four for now is still intact from my bracket, and I am loving that. And one of my teams is Kansas State. You gotta love that team, Marquise Noel, paired with Keontae Johnson coming back from that scary incident in Florida a couple years ago. I love Kansas State. Maybe throw a little money on Kansas State to get to the Final Four. And plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So we're here to finish up an Orioles news and notes episode on a Monday. Moving over to the hitters here to finish off the pod, and just a couple of quick things to get to with some of the Orioles hitters in camp right now. The O's are going to get Anthony Santander back in camp either Monday or Tuesday here. It looks like Santander was, of course, playing in the WBC with Team Venezuela and was having an amazing tournament with Venezuela. Many key hits that we have talked about here on the pod. But in one of the games of the tournament so far on Saturday night, Venezuela knocked out by Team USA in the World Baseball Classic quarterfinal. Trey Turner with a clutch go-ahead grand slam in the eighth inning to give the U.S. a 9-7 victory over Venezuela. Unfortunately, Santander, who had had an amazing tournament, did go 0-4 and did pop out to end the game in Saturday's quarterfinal, but that doesn't take away with how good he was for his country. Brandon Hyde talked about it on Sunday. He said they're going to ease Santander back into it. He talked about how, you know, most of his regulars have been playing, you know, 4 to 5 innings, getting 2 at-bats per game for the last few weeks, whereas Santander has been playing every inning of every game and defensively in right field every inning for Venezuela for the entirety of the tournament. That was 5 games with Team Venezuela where Santander played every inning and got 4 or 5 at-bats. So he said he's probably ahead of his teammates, but he's also going to have Santander kind of take it easy when he returns. So even if Santander's back in camp, he may not play in a game for a couple days. Then when he gets back in games, maybe in the middle of this week, expect him to play like every other day, you know, come out the 4th or 5th inning, and then they'll ramp him up right at the end of spring training. But he's far ahead of guys, so probably not somebody you need to worry about right now, especially because he swung the bat so well in the WBC. Turning it over to the left-handed hitters, the non-roster guys trying to fight for those roster spots. A couple of injury updates on those guys. Lewin Diaz, who's been pretty solid so far as trying to make the team as a backup first base option. He is still out. He's been out since last Tuesday with shoulder soreness. This will bring him close to a week that he has missed. Of course, it's been tough for him. You know, he needs to do everything he can to try and make this roster. This will certainly be a setback. And another guy who was swinging it well was Ryan O'Hearn, who also had a setback. Missed a few days with some knee soreness, but he did return to the lineup, played in games on Saturday and Sunday this weekend. So O'Hearn is back. We'll see if he continues to hit well as he tries to make this Orioles roster. And then Franchi Cordero just continues to be the hottest hitter in Sarasota. Cordero had 2 hits on Sunday against Garrett Cole in the Orioles split squad game against the Yankees. Cordero is now 17 for 33 in spring training. Again, 33 at-bats is a very small sample size, but he is 17 for 33. That is a .515 batting average for Franchi Cordero, a guy known for big power, but big strikeouts and low batting averages throughout his pro career so far. I still don't know if it's going to be enough to get Cordero on the team because, A, there's just not a lot of space open, and he'd be competing with basically guys like Taron Vavra and Kyle Stowers, who I still each think give the Orioles more than Cordero would. And as I've talked about, even if you're going crazy like Cordero, spring training performances, because the sample sizes are so small and because the games are so different, you know, you're only facing the good pitchers for the first 5 innings, then sometimes you're facing AAA guys for a while. The stats aren't going to be the end-all be-all that makes a guy get a roster spot. You know, you remember Jake Fox, the Orioles spring training legend, nothing came out of him. The Orioles don't want that to happen again with Franchi Cordero. He could make the roster, but it's still going to be tough. But credit to him, he is doing everything he possibly can. And the last thing is just some young Orioles hit some home runs this weekend, and it was fun to see. Adley Rutschman, Heston Kerstad, Colton Cowser, and Jordan Westberg all homered in big league spring training games this weekend. Cowser's was the most impressive, 476 feet with an absolute blast on Friday for his home run. Adley hit a two-run homer on Sunday. It was his third of the spring. Kerstad keeps hitting homers. Westberg was part of the O's who went back-to-back-to-back on Friday as well. Just fun times to see the young kids hitting well in spring training. And, you know, of all those guys, only Adley, obviously, is going to be the one on the opening day roster. But Kerstad, Cowser, and Westberg, you never know. There's an outside chance we could see all three of them in Baltimore before the 2023 season is over. But that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you listen or on YouTube as well. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the Locked On Orioles YouTube page. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll continue our Orioles positional preview. We're going to move things over to the Orioles infield. We're going to try to sort out what the heck Brandon Hyde is going to do with all these infielders, not just the ones that are going to make the opening day roster, but also all the infield prospects in AAA who are going to come to the big leagues at some point. It's going to be a pretty in-depth talk with Paul Valley of the Bat Around, but we're going to try to sort out that Orioles infield for 2023. Coming up on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.